From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Potbread. On a different day, it's got to be said. This is Eric Wiltshire. I'm at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains in the east of Slovakia. We do have some hot news for you from London. Unfortunately, we can't find our correspondent, which is a bit of a shame. Quick hello to Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, Audio Boot, and you lovely folks on RTI. On the zit of the nose of Europe, as always, it's Lee Banks.
And the hot news from the Midlands is that I've actually got myself some new headphones.
My word.
They're lovely. They go inside my ears like little earworms.
They must be rather large to go in your ears.
Oh, yeah, the normal size of anybody else.
All right. Right, sad news to start off with always, as those that have gone upstairs and left us alone. Bill Tarmy, and I'm going to leave this to Lee because I have no idea about Coronation Street whatsoever.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's such a liar. Coronation Street is the biggest soap opera to hit the world. The whole world knows what Coronation Street is.
Well, they might know what it is, but they don't actually watch it.
Well, they must be silly, because I watch Coronation Street. That's done me street. No, it hasn't ruined me street cred. It's ruined my credibility on the street.
Yes, probably.
But, well, Bill Tarmy was Jack Duckworth. He's a Mancunian, just like me. He talks like me.
Yeah.
He's everything. And he was just brilliant. He probably was one of the worst actors on the earth. But the character he played in Coronation Street, he was perfect for... Phlegmy, fat, wobbly, bad-tempered, lying, cheating.
A bit like you, then.
Exactly, a perfect Mancunian. and dead sad, being fair to him. He was actually a club singer, you know, Jack Tarmy, before he went into Coronation Street. Well, that's what he used to lean on the microphone with his limp wrist.
I saw it my way.
That's the one, yeah. Yeah, and he used to do that, and he used to sing around the clubs. Then he got this magical break. Oh, my new headphones just falling out of my ear. And he got this magical break to become Jack Duckworth. And now he's died. He was 71. Bit of a drinker, bit of a smoker, but then that's, like I say, that's what Mancunians are all about.
Well, there you go. And also, we've lost the US composer Robin Robbins this week.
Richard Robbins.
Richard Robbins. Oh.
Show a bit of respect for the dead.
I've had a stressful day.
I've had a stressful day with you.
I know.
He shouted at me, ladies and gentlemen, earlier on. He said, I'm very upset with you. That was him shouting at me.
Yeah. I was upset.
Yeah, well, you big kid. Yeah. Anyway, Richard Robbins, right? The US composer who scored such Merchant Ivory films as, can you tell him, read this?
Yeah.
As A Room with a View, Howard's End, and The Remains of the Day, has died age 71. Same
Another
age as old
71.
Jack.
Mm.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. I have to say I'm a bit of a loss there because I can't. Howard's End, what was that?
Don't say anything rude. It was nothing to do with gentlemen's sausages.
No, I didn't mean that. I just don't know what it is. I don't.
It was about a shipping family, and they had a boatyard.
No, that's Howard's Way.
Oh, right. I've no idea what Howard's End is there.
There you go. All right. Are you ready? Spammers, beware.
I used to buy spam from here.
We will get you.
We will.
We will. Earlier on today, some idiot sent me an email, which was a very stupid thing to do, because I'm an Eric, and it's a bad news thing, because it says, untitled document direct home. So I'm thinking, right, and it claimed to be from Asda Direct. Unfortunately, it didn't come from Asda. It came from a US mailing address.
Which is a funny thing, isn't it?
Well, yes. And it says, hello, dear customer. Now, let me think. I've been in Slovakia for around about 10 years. Therefore, I am not a customer of Asda. He then adds, Asda Direct is rewarding you with a gift card!
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I mean, can I have it?
Well, that's what I was hoping for. And then it goes on to say, Asda is currently giving away Asda shopping gift card. Not gift cards. The grammar's appalling. You could be one of the winners, but you just said you were going to give me a card. Now I've got to enter a competition. All you have to do is click here and apply for a gift card.
That's not very winning ways from Asda.
No, and the trouble is that I couldn't click there because there was nowhere to click.
So click here wasn't click anywhere?
No. Then get this, if you win a gift card, but you said before you were rewarding me with a gift card, it will be mailed direct to your home address. Does that mean in Slovakia? Or you can we'll call you up and arrange presentation of the award in one of our stores. I wonder if they're going to fly me back, Lee.
Are there any Asda stores in Slovakia, Eric?
Not that I know of.
Is the one in Poprad, Eric?
No.
Do you shop in the one that doesn't exist in Poprad or Slovakia, Eric?
No.
They're talking that word that begins with B and ends with locks.
I think you could be right. Then it says underneath this, Asda.com direct. Then it says copyright MG email marketing for REW UK.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then it says to unsubscribe from our mailing list, please click here. Well, I couldn't click there either because that didn't work. And this is from MG Email Marketing, Lemon Avenue, Walton, California.
Do you think there really is a Lemon Avenue in Walnut, California? Well, no, it's not Walton, it's Walnut.
I looked on the interweb and they all said it's not a real thing.
They must be nuts!
So I goes onto the internet in my usual place, onto one of my usual haunts, and I finds the email address for Andy Clark.
Yeah.
And I sends him a little email. Dear Mr. Clark, you have just received our gift card. An American company appears to be spamming on behalf of Asda. See the entire received email under my signature. May I point out the following? Whilst their mailing claims to have an opt-out option, as you can see from below, there's nowhere to click to opt out. Should this company claim they do, they do not consider those who do not accept potentially damaging HTML emails. We only accept plain email text in my office.
The now company, I'm lost, ladies and gentlemen.
It's all right. Everybody else will understand. The company clearly is not checking the database they are mailing. On the rare occasion I visit the UK, I'm now an expat, that would be the last place I would visit that allows spam to be issued on their behalf. I'm taking the post literally. Should I win, will you send the prize to the Slovak Republic? As it doesn't state otherwise, I also take it I can transfer the prize to a family member who still lives in the UK.
Me?
Yeah, well, you can do. Quite clearly, your email marketing people in the UK are trying to circumvent the UK email rules by subcontracting this campaign to a US company, and I name them again. This is not good practice. A simple question. What will you do to ensure this style of unacceptable email ceases from Asda? You're on a tight deadline with this. My next program is recorded, that goes out at 1600 CET, as we are a consumer program. I already know about our UK listeners are very annoyed by companies sending out unsolicited mail. Yours faithfully.
Yes. We are very annoyed.
Now, we have been waiting, because we've got some other hot news in a minute, for a reply. And I thought, well, I'll just check my email one more time before I come into the studio. Lo and behold. Good afternoon, Eric. That's nice, isn't it?
That's very nice. Is that Lemon Avenue Walnut who's saying
no,
that to you?
This is the directorate at asda.co.uk.
Who live in Orange View
no.
in Peanuts.
Thank you for your email to Andy Clark. Obviously, he hasn't read it. As part of Andy's executive relations team, I'm available to respond on his behalf.
I think it's horrible when executives have relations.
No, I'm writing to confirm we've received your email and are looking into the issues you've raised. Once we've completed our inquiries, we will be back in touch. In the meantime, thank you for your patience. I'm not patient.
Did it say click here?
No.
In the meantime, click here?
No. So watch out, whoever
yeah,
you are.
Watch out.
Because we are going to keep doing this. We are going to send spam emails to the companies in question and
Eric,
expose them. I am.
Are we? All right, I'm doing it as well then.
Yeah, we are going to expose them. And if you
spam,
get...
Spam.
Wonderful spam. Glorious spam. And just for anybody's benefit, have you got a pen and paper handy?
I have, thank you.
Right, would you like to write this down?
I haven't really got a pen and paper.
No, I knew you were lying. But everybody else can now run and get one. Because it's very easy to get hold of Mr. Clark. His email address is andy.clark@asda.co.uk. That's the boss of Asda. If you get one of these unsolicited mails, send it to andy.clark@asda.co.uk. And let's get rid of all this spam that's being sent out.
Spam.
Wonderful spam. Oh, sorry. We've done that already.
We love spam.
We've done that already. So,
all right.
Hard luck, you American spammers. We got ya.
We've got you.
Absolutely. I looked on the interweb, and it's fair to say this lot have not got a good reputation.
Who's that? Lemon Avenue Walnut.
The people in Lemon Avenue Walnut seem to have a less than reputable... profile on the internet.
Careful if you don't put the squeeze on you.
Right. Lord McAlpine vows to go after Twitter users who called him a paedophile. This is a result of a whole bunch of stuff going on, which got Newsnight into trouble and all sorts of things, and has also resulted in the BBC settling with Lord McAlpine over a libel claim. And it's cost the broadcaster £185,000 plus costs. Great.
Now, this is a very, very deep story. Goes into all sorts of areas that are absolutely staggering and frightening.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, may I say that Lord McAlpine has done absolutely nothing wrong and deserves to be vindicated by the BBC.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure that he deserves to get £185,000, though, plus costs, considering how rich he is. And when you compare that, all the people, all the victims of similar sort of things that have gone on because of what the BBC have said are going to get nothing.
Well, hang on a minute. I've had a thought.
Go on.
Well, you see, Lord McAlpine's got lots of money.
He has on a mountain.
Right. Therefore, he's got the money to start off the precedent that has now been set, in that people who've done things and all sorts of claims and da-di-da-di-da, Lord McAlpine's used his clout to set a precedent, which means if you've done something bad and it requires libel claims to be settled with the BBC, then you can, of course... say, well, you got it for Lord McAlpine, what about me?
You know what? You're quite right. And I just want to say, because without going into editing the details, because we've mentioned it before, but I am at this moment, being a poor person, involved in a major tussle with a major organisation who really are sitting it out because they know that financially I can't afford the hundreds of thousands of pounds I need to take them on. So, yeah, what you're saying is absolutely right. And what Lord McAlpine should with his £185,000, and I don't usually say things like this, but he should set up a fighting fund using that money for other people who are in similar circumstances to him to have the clout to get something done about the wrong that has been perpetrated on them.
All right, well, there you are.
Yeah.
There you
are. We then have to move on to the Twitter element. I think that's amazing, and more power to Lord McAlpine's elbow for doing what he's going to do.
Well, yes, and I think that could help little people out.
It's, well, could you sue everybody? You still couldn't afford to sue everybody, but at least he's going after all the twits on Twitter who were naive and stupid and ridiculous enough to perpetrate the libel against him by telling everybody in the Twitterati what was going on.
Well, again, Lee, I'll say the same thing. Because he can afford to do and fight them, and, you know, if he does get the successful result, which I'm sure he will because he's that kind of man, then again it sets a precedent. And if the precedent is set, then all sorts of things can happen. And it's like this, you know, this argument we were talking about last week with the tax havens that some corporates and globals take. It takes a man like this to take them on and go, no, I'm not having that anymore. Let's play by the proper rules. And the fact is, he's right. And I was listening to our own show last week and thinking to myself, hang on a minute, we are a pair of nanas. The pair of us.
Did you listen to our show?
I did.
That's three of us now.
God grief. And I'm thinking to myself, hang on a minute. If Starbucks haven't paid any money in...
Yes.
Then we just stop drinking coffee there.
Well, I've thought this, because there's something else that Starbucks and Costa Coffee and all the other coffee, posh coffee shops like that, have perpetrated on us. Perpetrated is my word of the day.
Costa is not the same, Lee, so let's be clear.
I'm saying something different. What I'm saying is these expensive, posh coffee shops have done something to us which people have completely ignored, and I think is just as despicable.
What's that?
And that is overnight, they tripled the price of a cup of coffee.
Oh, I know that. I know.
But we let them get away with it. Nobody said anything. Ooh, yeah, we're going to pay £3 for a cup of coffee now instead of 50p.
It's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. Work out how much it costs for a cup of coffee and tell me they're
a bit of water or a bit of milk.
Yeah, and their sort of surroundings are worth the rest of it. I don't think so. Greed of the energy sharks. And it's proven that, yet again, power firms' profits surge by 38%. As your bills keep going up. But I have to separate somebody out of this.
Go on.
Because the cooperative energy company are freezing their prices in the winter. Oh, what a pun.
Yeah, it is a pun. But also, I wonder what their prices are like, how they compare to other people.
I don't know.
I agree. If they are freezing their prices, what a wonderful thing for them to do.
Exactly.
But why didn't they freeze them 2 years ago or 3 years ago? Why have they actually reaped the rewards of the power prices surging over the past few years? You know, my electricity bill last month was £200.
My word. Well, apparently,
it's not even winter.
Apparently, the Scottish and Southern Energy made £397.5 million profit in the 6 months to the end of September. Oh dear, what a shame. They will claim, of course, that they need this money to reinvest in the infrastructure to make it better. Yeah, right. I'd like to see that.
Right.
And it just smacks me that there are some things that I'm not sure privatisation is good.
Well, these are, and we've said this before, and I really believe this, these are the basics of life. It's been the basics of life since prehistoric times. We've all needed heat, housing, and some form of whatever that other thing is, I can't think of, some form of energy.
Light.
And these people, light, that'll do, that's the one. I couldn't see the light, yeah. And these people are the people who supply the basic, there was food as well, the basic elements of life.
Mm.
And they are screwing us into the ground.
There's only one trouble with all of this.
Go on.
When they were nationalised companies, I bet they didn't make any profits at all and probably lost money.
Well,
that's because you put civil servants in charge of them. Anyway, we just think it's despicable. We're flagging it up to you. And do shop around, because on these different sites, you can actually get better deals. Don't be afraid to walk away from one to go to another if they're giving you a good deal. But check it out first. Check it out first. A supplier has been fined £25,000 after Pesto it claimed included olive oil, virgin olive oil, and Grand Padano cheese turned out to contain cheaper products.
Well, it's
what
just
a rip off Britain.
Well, I've just been looking at this. This is a company. They're based down south, and they were started by somebody called Victoria Stark, very attractive young lady. I'm actually looking at a picture of her now, and in brackets under a caption it says, she loves herbs. Well, I bet she does. But you know what it says? It was formed by Victoria Stark in response to a growing demand for fresh pesto that have pure ingredients and are very, very yummy. Well, I'm sure they are very yummy, but you've got to actually put the ingredients in that you say are going in.
Yes. Oh, the better thing to do is make your own pesto. Then you know what's going in it.
How do you make pesto? I'm not. No, that could end up in a terrible joke.
It could, couldn't it, really? So we won't go there. But you could make your own pesto. It's not that difficult, for goodness sake.
Go on, then. How would you do it?
Well, it's basil, cheese, olive oil.
Basil?
Basil? Basil? Bordering on madness as we get towards the end of part one, your IMPs will today call for an even looser border control to encourage a fresh wave of immigration into Europe and Britain. Right.
Well, I tell you,
hang on a minute. Whoa, stop the buses. That's not quite true.
What isn't?
Well, they can't do that.
Why can't they?
Because not every country agrees with this wave of immigration, and equally, countries across the European community have different, and they are different, rules on my immigration.
Of course they haven't. That's why it's hitting Britain so badly, and that's what the problem is. That Britain is a tiny, 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 tiny island, and it is overgrown with human beings. And the
Slovakia's smaller.
I know, well, yeah, and you're over there, so that makes up for 10.
Thank you.
So, but you. No, really, what I'm saying is that Britain has a liberal attitude, always has, and actually it was an attitude which was a good attitude, an honest and straightforward, almost altruistic attitude to people. Mm. But Britain is becoming a racist country, and I do not claim to be a racist. I have always said that I am not a racist, but now, because you have so many people from foreign lands who are over here and genuinely using our social security system when it's hard enough for us to get it, it is absolutely appalling. And these new rules, which haven't come in yet, they're only being looked at, which will make it easier for people to come across here, and are based on the fact that they say we suffer a labour shortage, which we don't. It's just the Brits are too lazy to go to work.
True.
That will make things harder for us here.
Well, the other thing that the other thing I find quite interesting is the EuroMPs want Brussels to discuss further social security coordination to give migrants greater access to welfare benefits.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, boys and girls, because, let's take me as a perfect example. When I left the UK and joined the Slovak system, which I'm actually quite proud of, because I do all taxes here, and my medical's here, and my ID card's here. I still retain an English passport, but the rest of it, I'm effectively a Slovak person. And the truth is that I can't get pension from Slovakia like you would in the UK, unless I've actually worked or put into the system for at least 15 years.
That's the point.
Yep. And secondly, if I was out of work, I wouldn't get social security, because the system here is such that if you are out of work for legitimate reasons, and you want to get benefit, what you have to do is help the council. They give you a job to do. It could just be sweeping up leaves. If you don't do it, you don't get no money.
Absolutely.
And it's the responsibility of your family. In my case, poor Martina, she would have to pay out of her pocket to look after me.
Well, that's really what the way it is. But let me give you a case study without any names or any pack drill. And this is what I mean. I hate saying this. I hate bringing this subject up. And I hate talking like this, because I do have liberal views. But there is a Polish gentleman in this village, right? Well, actually, just outside the village, who, with the greatest of respect to him, he's a lovely bloke. We get on really well. We have a beer together. He came here a few years ago. And within a few weeks of being over here, he was out of work. It wasn't his fault. It's just the way things went.
Sure.
But since then, he has been either on the sick or on the dole. He gets his rent pay. All his family now lives with him in a lovely, lovely, lovely bungalow. Mm. And everything is paid for him. He's now over the age of 65 and is getting his old age pension. My young lady, Andrea, who is nowhere near pensionable age, and this is what's happened to her, has worked either in her own business or for other people all of her life, 20-odd years, 30 years, I don't know. I don't want to embarrass her by making it up, getting it wrong.
Yeah.
She was told 3 weeks ago that she would now have to work until she is 70 before she can get a pension.
It's ridiculous.
Crazy.
Totally
crazy.
Ridiculous. Yeah. So I think, I hear what you're saying, Europe, you MEPs, but the fact is, you know, there's got to be some good things to take out of Slovakia here, because... You know, if you want to be a lazy layabout, you ain't going to get state benefits.
And that's the way it should be. 15 years, you've paid into the system. You've showed a commitment to the country. You've actually had a life there and lived and done things. Come over here, just get on the dole and then go and get an house. That is despicable.
Indeed so. Very quickly, or shall we do that? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll do a good bit of news. We had some reporters actually in the High Court in London today over the case of the Slovak lady who was trying to get her children back to the grandparents in Slovakia. It's been well reported in the UK. I am pleased to say, and we've been desperately trying to get hold of somebody, which hasn't worked, unfortunately, but our camera guy was actually in the court when the verdict was announced that the two children in care of the social services in the UK will be back in time for Christmas in Slovakia with the grandparents, and at long last somebody has seen sense, and it took 2 years of fighting, and it also took some great sponsorship of people to pay for barristers and all sorts of other things. There was a bunch of Slovak mums actually outside the court giving some moral support as well, which our chaps had a chat to. Thank you, Harry and Dom. But the good news is those kids will be back in the arms of their families for Christmas, and to the social services, who obviously got it wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I'm still embarrassed to say that it's the case came and ended up the way it did in the first place. And I have to commend Mum, who did so much on her own.
Grandmum, you mean?
Your grandmum and Mum, you know, who had to fight like tooth and nail without legal support, because they couldn't get that. And it took a conversation with an MP and then with Jan Zelensky, who sponsored them, to get some legal counsel for them and to actually act as a translator for them as well before the whole thing was settled. So we wish them a speedy return to Slovakia, and maybe this will make the social services catch up and actually realise what the hell they've done wrong.
Well, Britain is getting a reputation as the country which snatches your children, and that really needs looking at, and perhaps this will actually bring it to the forefront.
Indeed. That's the end of part one, a postcard from Poprad.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.